Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. We'll be in-depth on politics and a poll that says a majority of Americans believe the media is too tough on President Trump. I want to know if you agree. Now to some of the political developments over the weekend with the political junkie Ken Rudin. Ken, what a weekend. Oh, my gosh. This
Carrie, do you remember, you know every show you always give me a quiz about who that voice we hear.
And I've got one for you today. Yeah.
Well, I have a quiz for you.
Okay.
This goes back a long, long, long time ago. I don't know if you remember this far back, but there was once a time, I think it was last Tuesday, when President Trump was presidential. He was an adult. He had a new tone. I don't know if you remember that far back.
There was great celebration in the kingdom when the president gave that speech, and it seems like forever ago, Ken, for what you're saying.
That was 3 days, and then 3 days later. I mean, I know the stuff about President Obama and the illegal wiretaps are important, but I'm more concerned, and hopefully we'll talk about it, is the pathetic ratings of Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Apprentice.
That was
his first tweet, and I was very upset about that. What madness. It's madness.
Okay, so the latest development this morning is that FBI Director Comey is telling the Justice Department that they should knock down allegations by the President of the United States. I mean, this is
remarkable.
Crazy.
You're having the director of the FBI basically saying that the President of the United States is not telling
the
truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can you know a lot of political history? Can you think of anything that compares, even in the Nixonian years? Are there comparisons there?
No, the comparisons to Nixon, of course, is that the attorney generals at the time, I guess John Mitchell and maybe Richard Kleindienst, either bended the truth or lied or did what they can to defend the president. The thought of a director of the FBI or even J. Edgar Hoover, who did everything he can with Nixon and Johnson's full acquiescence, but the thought of an FBI director standing up, telling the Justice Department to oppose this president because he's not telling the truth, is just, I mean, I cannot think of a time in history where that's happened.
I was watching the former DNI, James Clapper, on Meet the Press yesterday, and I felt like this should be in a normal world the last word on this, because Clapper said there was no FISA request on this. You would need a FISA request to do this kind of wiretapping, and there isn't one. Why isn't that the end of the story?
Well, it's not the end of the story because the president and Sean Spicer and the administration are now saying that the Congress needs to investigate. The president has said what he has to say. He's not going to say any more, as Sean Spicer said. And now it's up to Congress to do its work. But if you look at the timetable, and the New York Times did a great job of it this morning.
I know.
Basically, this was a story that came out from right-wing radio host Mark Levin, which came out, I guess, on Thursday. And then on Friday, it was repeated by Breitbart News. And then Trump saw it and said, my goodness, this is terrible. I'm going to tweet it. That looks like how it happened. And then everybody jumps. And, of course, I would have hoped that James Clapper and James Comey and President Obama, everybody would have responded to Trump by tweet, because that's what it deserves. Because here it is, you have this amazing charge, an astonishing charge, saying that basically the president's predecessor broke the law, unless he got a court to go along with it.
President Obama, you're talking about,
President Obama, right, broke the law.
Yeah, he's accusing him of breaking the law in a tweet.
On a tweet.
But Ken, I have to take issue with you wish some of these others had tweeted back. I think that is... So, to
no,
level
no,
of charge
no,
like
of
this,
course.
So undignified. So
no, I, of course, I don't wish they did that. I mean, I don't mean that seriously. But the point is to make such an unbelievable charge. It's a frightening, and it's a reckless charge, because if it's not true, then we've put the presidency into a realm of fantasy land that I've never ever seen before. But if it is true, it deserves far more than a tweet at 6:26 in the morning.
And then moving on, what's dangerous, I think, about this is how it we already know where the level of trust is in our government among Americans. This
and the media, as you just pointed out in your preview for next segment,
This really, I mean, this is so destructive in undermining trust in the presidency. Does he think about it? Does anybody have the intestinal fortitude to say that to him, do you think?
Well, apparently there was a whole big fracas inside the White House last week stemming from Attorney General Jeff Sessions' decision to recuse himself from any investigation into whatever Russia may have done during the campaign. And apparently Trump was furious and livid about this, saying that there was no reason why Sessions needed to recuse himself, even though Sessions told Congress that he didn't meet with Russians when he did meet with Russians. And so that's why he had to get out of that investigation. But it's just that he believes in loyalty and he believes in simple solutions and theories. And look, the fact is about the millions of people who voted illegally, the fact that President Obama was not born in the U.S., the fact that Ted Cruz's father worked to kill JFK, worked with Lee Harvey Oswald.
Forgot about that.
I mean, we're giggling about this, but it's unbelievable. And yet, to be a true loyalist, either a Republican in Congress or in the administration, you go along with it. Look at the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, who is showing no independence. Basically, you know, when they were asking about an independent investigation into Russian activities, he said, "Oh, it's not warranted at all." But then when Trump calls for an investigation into what Obama may have done, the chairman said, "Yes, we're going to investigate this." It's unbelievable.
Questions for Ken this morning: 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. And of course, I'm on Twitter at Carrie NPR, where I see some of you already tweeting about whether you think the media is too tough on the president. I want you to keep in mind, if you're tweeting in on that question, and we're going to talk about that in depth, remember that 51% of Americans in a recent Wall Street Journal NBC News poll believe that. So I want to hear from you on all perspectives on that. Ken, you know, Tom Friedman was on Meet the Press in their roundtable discussion, and I think he was quoting a friend of his who said, "There's a difference between formal authority and moral authority. And while this president has formal authority, he is fast degrading his moral authority." I thought that was a really interesting way to think about this. It said a lot to me. What about
it? It is, and how far, I mean, how long does this go on before somebody convinces the president that this is just eroding whatever authority he has and respect he has?
Right.
Because, you know, of course, his supporters still like it. Whenever he tweets something like that, there are tens and tens of thousands of people who retweet it and say, "Right on, Mr. President." But at the same time, and I've said this before, we have to see what the Republicans in Congress decide to do. We know that, you know, they support the president regarding the Gorsuch nomination for the Supreme Court and tax reform and things that are on their agenda. But when it's just embarrassing the government, let alone the presidency, but embarrassing the United States, you wonder how. Look, it took Republicans a certain amount of time before they went to Richard Nixon in 1974 and said, "The gig is up." We're only talking about 5-6 weeks into this presidency, but there are Republicans out there who are just saying, "My goodness, how long can this possibly continue?"
Okay, you make a really good point here, because the president has an agenda that a lot of people, a lot of Americans who voted for him, want him to be able to execute. And when he undermines his moral authority with some of this other stuff, doesn't he also undermine his ability to get stuff done?
Well, that's a good question, because so far that's not the case. He hasn't pushed that much stuff before Congress. When you think of his address to Congress last Tuesday, almost everything that was on the agenda is something he campaigned on. So if you could make the case that President Trump is keeping his promises, there's truth to that, because this is what he's campaigned on and this is what he's pushed. But he's got to do more than just executive action and late night tweeting for the government to continue. So obviously he's going to have to come up with a replace and repeal a health care bill. He's going to have to do something about the executive order regarding the people here coming in from those majority Muslim countries. There's a lot he has to do. And again, as we said from the beginning, when you start distracting yourself, if this whole thing is a distraction to keep people's minds away from Jeff Sessions and what the Russians are doing, well, on the contrary, I think the more he tweets about this kind of crazy stuff, more and more people say, well, we should have an independent investigation, an independent counsel going into looking at this, not only in whether President Obama may have bug the president or wiretap the president, but what Trump and his associates have done.
You know, Ken, I'd like to bring Molly Hemingway in, if you don't mind. She's a senior editor at The Federalist, specifically on that question. Are you cool with that?
I think she's excellent. I read her stuff all the time.
Okay, so Molly, welcome. A little early, but I'm really glad you're game to do this.
Yes.
Can you address this question that Ken and I are wrestling over, which is, when the president needs support and authority to execute an agenda that a lot of people want him, many items of which a lot of people want him to execute, he undermines his moral authority and ability to do that with all of this sideshow stuff. I'd love your view on this.
Oh, there are so many issues at play there. I mean, one thing is, for instance, that every time he does something very distracting, it's incumbent upon media folks to think about whether they want to follow him down the rabbit hole that he's pursuing, because there might be stories that are more important for them to go after. At the same time, there is a larger issue here in D.C. of just a general frenzy. I mean, I just heard the line about, you know, to distract from Jeff Sessions and what the Russians are doing. We have all these allegations of Russian involvement with the Trump administration, and it almost sounds like media reports are trying to give this idea that there's treasonous behavior. And so I think Trump is also trying to put the kibosh on this in his own unique way. And I mean, the thing is, he is very different than anybody we've ever had as president, or really anyone at this, you know, national level, period, in terms of he does not speak like a politician does. And I think we have to kind of not just react strongly to it, but accept it and just realize that he is a different type of communicator. He's going to speak both more clearly and more confusingly than we are used to from politicians.
Ken, rabbit holes into what Molly said.
Well, you know, again, as I said, I really am a big fan of Molly. I think she's able to understand and explain issues almost better than anybody. But here's what I disagree. It's not that the media is just sitting back and saying, well, there's treasonous overtones behind this. Why did Mike Flynn resign? Why did Jeff Sessions recuse himself? There is a there when it comes to relationships with Russia. We don't know how involved it is. We don't know if the Russians hacked the election. We don't know if they, and we do know they hacked the emails. I don't think they hacked the election results, but there are relationships between the Trump associates and Russians during the election that both Mike Flynn didn't tell anybody about until he was forced to reveal it, probably because of some kind of surveillance. And same with Jeff Sessions. So there is a there when it comes to questionable relationships with Russia, and that's why maybe the media didn't do the job in 2015, and for most of 2016, they're certainly doing the job, at least attempting to do the job in 2017.
Molly, what do you think of that?
Well, two things. First off, Jeff Sessions was very clear about why he was recusing himself or pre-recusing himself. He said during his confirmation hearing that he would ask the professional staff if they thought he should recuse himself about anything related to the campaign since he was on the campaign. They advised him to recuse himself, and he did. That has nothing to do with Russia. I mean, that has to do with him making an ethical judgment. And secondly, just right now, we heard notice that Mike Flynn was under surveillance, which sounds exactly like what Donald Trump is saying, that the Trump transition was under surveillance, that this was obviously done by the previous administration, which is the Obama administration. That is a very
I thought it was the Russians who were under surveillance, not Mike Flynn. And Mike Flynn's conversations with the Russians are the ones that were picked up, Molly. Is that not true?
Well, we don't know, because everything is based on anonymous sources. I mean, we have yet to see a single verifiable claim of wrongdoing issued by anyone with a name attached, and that includes Mike Flynn. I mean, he did resign. He, the president, and Mike Pence all claimed that he resigned because he was not fully forthright about his totally normal conversation with the Russian ambassador. But why was he being spied on? And was it just normal? Were they really just doing normal surveillance on the Russian ambassador? And did the intelligence community think it was a good idea to let the Russians know that whatever they'd done to avoid surveillance had been thwarted by the Americans? Or were these targets of Russia actually a ruse to get, you know, like, for instance, we have allegations that there was a FISA court granting of surveillance of Russian targets that would have picked up Trump campaign surrogates. And I don't know if that's true, again, because it's based on anonymous sources. But I do think there are questions that I wish journalists were far more interested in about why exactly are we spying on these Americans? Is that okay? Are there political considerations? And I know that Trump talking about it so imprecisely and so carelessly is a problem. At the same time, I don't think journalists have focused as much as they should on why this investigation is happening and why we have yet to see a single reason for it.
Let me bring our other guest in. We might as well, the more the merrier here, bring Van Newkirk in. He's a policy and politics reporter for The Atlantic. Hey, Van, hi. Good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Van, I'm interested in kind of where we started here with Molly and Ken about the president has an ambitious agenda. He has limited amount of time to get that agenda executed. And whether what's oh, my gosh, I don't know where that phone came from. And whether that undermines his capability to execute this agenda, all this stuff about Obama and all this other stuff. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Well, I think all of this, you know, the constant. It's been a month full of scandals and different controversies, and I think people who are working on the policy would rather have him not tweet at 6 a.m. in the morning. It is difficult, I think, to move a very ambitious agenda like his through not just through, you know, making sure the different pieces of the policies are together, but making sure you build up the political capital to move them through Congress. So, you know, we're looking now at the Obamacare repeal plan, whatever was going to happen with the infrastructure plan. We don't talk about those and the actual policies involved in those as much as we should be for two programs that Trump wants to push that are going to fundamentally change America. Instead, we are talking about whether President Obama illegally ordered wiretaps. And those are things that really move, I think, the goalposts back and move the conversation away from policy.
We have a question here from a caller that's a good one to Anne in St. Paul. Hey, Anne, what do you want to know?
Yeah, thanks. My question is, why isn't Comey directly refuting the allegations? Why is he referring it to the Justice Department, apparently, to refute? Why doesn't he come out directly and say it's not true?
Ken, good question. What's the answer to that?
That's a great question, and we don't have the answer to that. I mean, clearly there was no reticence with James Comey back in 2016 when he talked about investigations into Hillary Clinton's conduct during the election. It's interesting that these are, again, sources that say that Comey went to the Justice Department and has not gotten an answer. It's interesting why he has not released his own statement. I assume that Comey knows he's under the microscope for whatever he does, but he showed no such reticence in 2016,
Molly,
that's for sure.
Yeah, Molly, what do you make of that?
Well, just one note would be that he did go public in 2016, in part because he did tell Congress in July that if anything changed about the investigation regarding Hillary Clinton, that he would be public with them, that he would talk to them about it. In general, I mean, Clinton was also frustrated that he wasn't talking about any possible Russian investigations at that time, and the word came out from Justice that he was not going to comment on any investigations in general. The exception was the Clinton one because he had said he would do so publicly. But I do get the feeling, I mean, again, it's hard to know because it's based on anonymous sources, and it's just so frustrating how many anonymous sources there are and how sometimes they contradict, but you do get the feeling that he is trying to get the word out that there was no Obama-specific targeting of Trump people.
Right.
I don't know if that answers everything, and again, because there has clearly been surveillance of Mike Flynn and other people, and we have heard about other investigations, so there's just a lot that we don't know.
A call here from Joe in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, Joe, what are you wondering about?
Not so much wondering. I just had a comment that I've seen on multiple occasions intelligence retired intelligence officials or even some active intelligence officials where they go to different news programs, both in NPR, CNN, MSNBC, and they specifically say that Mike Flynn should have known that the Russians were being investigated, that there was a very good likelihood that their calls were being wiretapped, that he should have known.
Okay.
So it's a little bit disingenuous to pin this on the Obama administration as trying to target the Trump campaign or administration.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. So, Van, earlier, I don't know if you caught Molly saying why aren't we learning more about the fact that, Mike Flynn was being surveilled, and Ken and I said, well, we thought it was the Russians who were being surveilled. What about what our caller Joe is saying?
Well, I think it sounds about right that we have some sort of default level of surveillance on Russian officials on American soil, on people, especially in the middle of a campaign where people in the intelligence community believed there to be some sort of Russian interference in the electoral process. So it makes sense that the theory advanced that Flynn was picked up, his communications were picked up solely based on surveillance of Russian officials. That said, I think Molly's point about things are really unclear right now because we have so many sources who are not revealing themselves. And what I think Trump, his tweets and sort of the White House's commitment now to an investigation moves us towards actually a place where those people will have to come out.
Uh-huh. Ken, time for your Newsmaker Sound of the Week. I don't want to miss this because I know you look forward to it every week. You ready?
I used to. I used to look forward to it.
Here it is.
Then we steal mattress, Boris.
No time like the president, Natasha. Look, we're coming to tunnel. When it gets dark, we grab mattress and make a run for it, okay?
Okay!
Who are those people, Ken?
It's Boris and Natasha, and I think you're insulting cartoons by comparing them to the reality of what's going on today.
Oh, they're delightful. I haven't watched Rocky and Bullwinkle in how many years, but you gave me a chance.
You don't need it. We have Sean Spicer. We don't need anything else.
Oh, my, Ken. So I'll talk to you next Monday, and who knows what will happen between now and then. Good to have you, Ken. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.